Welcome to Documentary Diehards, the show where three sports fans break down one 30 for 30 documentary each and every episode. Ren, Sam, and Nick back with you guys. How are you? Sam, what's up?
Nothing much, Ren. I'm hoping that it snows a lot so that I get my first ever snow day as an educator tomorrow.
Oh,
you have not yet. Day.
So a couple, like a month ago, you didn't get one?
Nope, didn't get one a month ago. We got a delay this morning, which is nice, but I'm hoping for the full shebang tomorrow.
You'll be checking it just as much as, or not more than the kids, huh?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You get like a text from the, like, do they send a mass out to the mass text, excuse me, to the teachers, or
yeah,
do
you find out by everybody else? I got a call at like 5:50 this morning saying that it was canceled from the district, or that it was delayed. So I'm guessing that would happen again. And like a lot of the area schools are shutting down right now. So I'm like, come on.
Yeah, you might know by tonight, to be honest.
But yeah, I'm hopeful. But what's up with you guys?
Not much, same old, same old.
Yeah, just recovering from surgery, but I'm doing well. Crazy that it's already close to Christmas and close to football being done, or at least playoffs.
Yeah, I know. Playoff pictures are formulated. Well, more importantly, fantasy playoffs. Sorry to bring that up, Sam. I know.
Yeah.
And on the outside of the
game. Not that you really know what that's like.
What was that Facebook thing about? The what was the comment that I was tagged in about? I didn't understand what he meant.
Oh, yeah. I think he tagged you in it because it was – I think he beat you out in your matchup so that he could get the first round bye. He needed a win to get in the first round bye, I think.
Okay.
You beat me, Sam.
Oh.
And then Zach beat me. His record beat me, and we're in the other league.
Okay.
I didn't see the comments. I don't get updates for that on our Facebook. I don't know why, but.
Yeah, I was just very confused because I was like, I like pay attention, but not like so close that I knew what he was talking about. I was like, yeah.
No, the people that are in play, we keep all the scenarios the top of mind. So a lot of, I mean, like I needed Caleb to beat somebody to get that first round bye on the strong division. And then Nick almost got that first round bye in the weak division. So that's all our listeners need to know. I'm the one seed, and that's it.
In my defense, if it wasn't for all my poor management skills, I would have a better record.
Let's talk about fantasy as a whole, just for our listeners. Defend fantasy for me. Why should I even be interested in fantasy anymore? I don't find fantasy that fun. Maybe it's because I'm bad at it.
It definitely
plays a role in it, but I don't enjoy it even when my team's like doing that well, to be honest with you. Like early in the season, I was off to a hot start and I was like, it's cool to be good, but I don't really like, you guys like really love it. And I'm like, I'd rather gamble on games.
Interesting. I guess maybe that feels, because I don't gamble on games. Nick, do you?
No, I'm not blessed to live in the state that allows it.
I am.
Wow. maybe that's the similar, void it fills for us, but I don't know. I've always really liked it. Before I started playing it, I was like, when I first heard about it as a kid, I was like, oh, I'm going to love this. And then I started and I was like, yeah, this is like scratches that itch. So I don't know. I just really like it. It's football specific, because the rest, it just doesn't have the same effect. The waiver is something I really liked, and that's really only purist and fantasy football, so I don't know.
But yeah, I think football's set up perfectly for it, because it's like, you know, waivers are every, you know, Wednesday or whatever. It's like,
if you want,
you can forget about it, you know, except for like the games, or I don't know, it's just a...
Yeah, but you're never forgetting about it for more than a day or two. Like, neither, we're always like,
No.
I mean, but like someone could, but those are the people that probably aren't enjoying it as much because they're not.
Right.
Like, I'm going to be honest, there's times where I'll get to like Thursday night and I'll be like, did I win from the last week? Legitimately. I'll be like, There's been times where like Thursday game has started and I'm like, oh, I hope I don't have anyone playing. Like,
Wait, so you don't even check on a Sunday or Monday?
I'll check on like Sunday during the day. And I'll be like, okay, how am I doing? And then, yeah, but like, I don't know if it's just been like a busy fall and I just like, it's kind of slipped, but I don't know. I just like, it's not even like on purpose that I'm like, oh, I'm like doing bad. I'm mad about this. Right. It's like, I legitimately won't think about it. And then I'll be like, oh yeah. And there's been times this year where I'm like, oh, I wanted to put in a waiver claim and I like completely forget about it until like the waiver period or whatever is over. And
yeah, like, that's a terrible feeling. This year
I was mad about it because I was like, oh, someone like claimed the guy I wanted and I need to be better about it.
I just think, I think to a fault, like I'm too interested in it. I'm too competitive about it. I feel like I have a more of a control around it than I really do. Cause at the end of the day, it's just like who performs and who doesn't, even if you have a better team, but I don't know.
I like to think that my hard work long run pays off, which I mean, I do think, you know, I'm decent at it. I'm pretty good at it. But yeah, there's still so much up to whatever injuries. Like, I mean, you have to get lucky there.
Well, I think there is something too. Like, you guys are both really on top of it. Like, Kevin is clearly really on top of it. And like, you guys are always way up top where like, I'm not super into it. I know a lot about football, obviously.
Okay, some technical difficulties cut us off in the middle of our fascinating and really interesting fantasy football discussion, I'm sure. That was much needed, long awaited. So we'll get into the documentary of the reason we're here. Just quickly, our return to the 30 for 30 after a while now is Brothers in Exile. This came out originally in November of 2014. So a while ago, yet still over 8 years. Directed by Mario Diaz and MLB Productions produced it. It is a Major League Baseball story, a baseball story, I guess. Just a quick summary is that it's about Levon and Orlando Hernandez, two, I guess they're half brothers from Cuba, both pitchers. And the kind of the story is that they, you know, they're pitching Cuban national team during really hard times in Cuba. Special times, I guess, as they call it, a lot of economic issues and poverty and struggles there. And eventually they had to defect or they chose to defect from Cuba to the U.S. and enter, you know, Major League Baseball and play at the highest level. And it's just a kind of really interesting story of what all played into that, when they decided to do that, how that went about, you know, on the boat, getting from Cuba to eventually the U.S. and then, you know, winning World Series in Major League Baseball. So pretty cool. Just quick cliff notes on that. So, yeah, I mean, just kind of gave the start to finish story of that. Guys, what'd you think of it? Nick, what was your takeaway?
Yeah, it took me back to, like, I feel like some of the earliest times. Like memories of baseball, I feel like for me, or at least like the Marlins team, I feel like I remembered Levon Hernandez like pitching there, and you know, very vaguely, of course. But you know, just seeing the story behind it, you know, super cool to see the camaraderie between those, or just the two different stories between two half brothers, and I really enjoyed it. Part of me, and Rundy, you'll probably shake your head at this, but I was like, man, I miss liking baseball, like watching this. I was just like, you know, I feel like I haven't really paid a whole lot of attention to baseball over the last like 10 years. And I'm just like, you know, this is seeing clips, you know, whether it's in Cuba with everybody just like loving baseball, or just like old videos or scenes from, you know, games that, you know, just bring me back to my childhood and where I followed baseball more. It was just interesting in that sense, I guess. But otherwise, I thought the story was good. I liked how they broke it up into different pieces, just to, you know, kind of help the viewer, like, you know, see the differences and that's very unique story. It seems like it's like could have been written beforehand, and that they both came over and won the World Series, and just a storybook ending to both. So, yeah. What about you, Sam?
I completely agree. I have the same feelings about missing baseball. And I know it's like our choice to have not really follow baseball as closely. Right. But it's been the same for me, you know, over the last like 5 or 10 years. Besides living in St. Louis and following the Cardinals, I like overall, like there's been $100 million contracts recently that have been handed out to players that I don't know, which is the first time that that's happened in a long time. So that's a side note, I guess.
Guys broke up with her. You can't be sad.
I moved on, but I'm still remembering the good times we had and that we shared. You know, man?
I feel.
No, but overall, yeah, I really like the story. Like you said, storybook ending, going from, you know, some tough times in Cuba. And it was interesting to hear the little bit of the history of Cuba and how that came to be and the tough times that fell on the entire country. But then, you know, for them to defect into the U.S., win World Series. And I was looking up their career earnings out of curiosity, and one had earned like $38 million and the other had earned like $44 million. And so that's pretty incredible. And, you know, seeing how, family was able to join at the end, that was just like an amazing way for the story to end as well. So what did you think, Ren?
Yeah, no, I really liked it just up front. I love how you guys are talking about it, because there's really nothing as nostalgic as baseball. Like that's just such a hand-in-hand emotion with baseball, especially watching old stuff. LeJuan Hernandez played for the Twins 1 year. And so when I saw, I had no idea what it was about, I turned it on and I was like, I know him. I just looked it up to find the year. He played in 2008, which was a good year for the Twins. So yeah, he pitched for them for 1 year. So that's how I already knew, I had heard of El Duque, his brother. So I guess I should have said LeJuan and Orlando are the two brothers, both pitchers. But yeah, no, I really liked it. I wrote like a note down, and it kind of just says like it combines baseball, like international, like relations, like a dangerous like boat trip, like, and then a fairy tale ending. Like it has everything like that I would want in like a documentary. Like I don't know, it really did it for me. Honestly, there were so many things I learned. All the geopolitical stuff was wild. Like the reason that El Duque got over was because someone knew one of the Pope's cardinals, and he like sent a letter straight to Castro. Like that was nuts. Like there were so many weird twists and turns. That was super fascinating. I thought, you know, the guy that kind of capitalized on the beginning of baseball players defecting from Cuba, the agent guy, was an interesting character. I mean, he helped a lot of people, and you know, he got rich off of them, but it was he played a huge role in all that. He was kind of one of those, I mean, like like you could cast him as an agent and he was like perfect, right? He was like this sort of sleazy guy with a suit, I thought he was an interesting character. He
certainly hit an avenue to get rich. And all off of buying, was it his brother or brother-in-law's money or something like that?
Yeah, somebody.
For his initial investment, I think.
Was it his colleague that got 15 years in prison? That was his
Juan Ignacio. Yeah. He went to jail in Cuba for 15 years.
Like they brought that.
Yeah, and that was a very minor part of the story. Like they talked about it for about 15 seconds. He's like, yep, I had served 15 years. I served every day. And then it was like,
it was like they brought him on there and they got really good clips from him. And then they're like, oh, by the way, like, didn't you get arrested? And he's like, you're going to make me talk about this. And then of course they like include that in there.
And yeah, they just kind of described how dumb he was about just like driving around Cuba and like basically asking to get arrested. And then he did, and yeah, that was crazy. So he was trying to just like do what the other agent was doing, just didn't do it as well. Yeah, I really liked just seeing all the video of the sandlots. Like when Orlando Hernandez got kicked off the national team, he was like playing in sandlots, pickup games. And somehow there was video of all this. Like there was even one time, like a throwaway line. To me, this was like one of the ones where I'm like, okay, this is a great documentary because everything's coming together. They were like, yeah, he would play these pickup games. I think someone just gave him a Yankees jersey and he would always wear that. And then cut to a clip of him putting it on the sandlot where he walked out there with like high school kids. And then obviously we know, at least I knew he was going to go play for the Yankees. And so like, I mean, everything like comes together and plus we have video and interviews of it, all of it. It just worked really well. And there wasn't really anything lacking. If I'm trying to break down the production of it, they had a lot. I mean, the only thing was they didn't speak English in their interviews, but I mean, that was fine. Like they had good interviews. And I thought, just if we want to talk about El Duque himself, like I thought he was a super interesting character and really easy to root for, really likable. And obviously he had like a really hard life. And so that made it even more compelling.
My heart definitely felt for El Duque when his brother wins the World Series and is making millions of dollars and he's sitting in Cuba. I mean, he's with his family, but at the same time,
listening to it on the radio.
Yeah. That hurt, but it all worked out in the end. Ren, I thought for sure, as speaking of production, scene when they were it was like slow-mo of like a single person out on the mound like pitching, and it was like definitely actors that were maybe it was the two of them actually doing it.
Yeah, but
it wasn't like they were in an actual room. It was them. I thought for sure that when that showed up, I was like, oh, Ren's gonna hate this documentary. But then that was the only time that anything like that happened.
That's fair. Okay, so I did have a line in my notes down. So like that was fine. I think it was just kind of introducing them. It was just some like little league field in Miami or whatever they live. And that was just them walking out there just doing B-roll for the documentary to fill in the gaps. But there was a lot of recreation video. Know exactly what it was. Like, yeah, there was like a parking lot scene, right? There's a scene where they're describing how LeVon Hernandez walked away from the hotel in Mexico to go defect. And that was all filled in with acted out B-roll of a van in a parking lot speeding through. But to me, that was done really well where there was no like people shown, right? So when you see the actors, it takes you out of it. When you see the extras walking around, it's like, this is so dumb. But they just kind of did some blurry, and to me it was tastefully done enough where it was not too much, and they didn't go to it too often. They went to it when they really had to for things like that, where there'd be no reason you would ever have video, you know, it'd be possible to have a picture, whatever. So to me that was done well. It wasn't, that part wasn't perfect. I guess it wasn't like 100 out of 100 there, but I didn't mind like the fill-in video where sometimes that's a deal breaker for me.
Sure. Okay. That makes sense.
I liked hearing Bob Costas's voice just every once in a while calling some of these World Series games. I was like, oh, this is great. I love Bob Costas, as you know. So what else?
I was going to say the footage of the Yankees World Series parade. I thought that was pretty neat footage of him, just like the joy on his face on the, you know, I thought that was a good get for the documentary.
Talk about like a profound moment where you're like, oh, like any of us would be like, yeah, winning the World Series would be maybe the best moment of your entire life. But to him, the reason that day was so great was that he knew his family was coming to see him, coming back to him after he had been missing them and left them for over a year. Like that was crazy also how that timing of that happened.
Yeah.
They said that he found out that they were coming back the day that they clinched the World Series, which
like during the game.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Which is.
So, yeah, I mean, you keep saying fairy tale, but you can't really overestimate that or overemphasize that.
Yeah, because I mean, that's what it was. I always thought it was crazy when they were looking at, or when they were interviewing his teammates and like just hearing Derek Jeter be like, yeah, we know he's been through a lot. Like, you know, just glad he's here and glad he can, you know, play with us. It's like, imagine being his teammate, and you know, if you're, I don't know, you just went through the minor leagues and you worked your way up, or you're always a prized prospect, and then all of a sudden this dude is like, yeah, I defected from my country and like had to be on a raft or on a boat and then stranded in an island, and then like, you know, everything that he got to that point, just like life craziness, I couldn't even imagine.
El Duque, like, I mean, yeah, he was on a stranded on an island. That was crazy. It was interesting that, like, I mean, he was already, what, 31, I think, or 32 when he first played for the Yankees, when he first finally, because he was old, he was 10 years older. Yeah, 32. And so I was wondering, too, like, how is this going to work as far as, is he going to play a few games in the minors? Like, the timing of that. But I think, I don't know, they probably skipped over to play in the minors. And then maybe showed a little bit. So I think he might have done like a couple games, but pretty much he was like in the major leagues like a month after he signed, or less, probably less. And so I was wondering about that transition, just from like, you know, because he was cut by the, or he was kicked off by the national team. So he wasn't really competing for like over a year, like a year and a half or something. And then he's like playing for the Yankees just like that. I mean, that's insane. And he's, and he wasn't like this super hot prospect. Like, he was good, obviously very good, but he's 32. Like, that's old for baseball player. So yeah, and that's and okay, the World Series that Levon Hernandez, I don't know if it was playoffs or something, maybe it was just a regular season, Levon Hernandez in his first season, they kept showing this game and he had 15 strikeouts, right? It was like a record or something. I don't know if it was a playoff game, I can't remember.
It was it was NLCS, I think.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was. Anyway, half of those, like all of those strikeouts that were looking were not strikes. Those were terrible. The strike zone was terrible. Like, he was dropping these breaking balls away and they were in the other batter's box and they were ringing them up. Like, yeah, that was, oh my goodness.
They were definitely like a foot wide for sure.
And then the catcher even said, he's like, oh, we're getting the outside corner plus, so we're just going to live out there. And it worked.
Yeah.
But I was like, I was yelling at my TV. I'm like, what the hell?
No, it was really, really bad.
And like, I mean, he was getting some swings too, but still, man, that was, I mean, okay. So let's, I mean, going defecting, winning World Series, Levon Hernandez when he was 21 or whatever for the Marlins in his first season. That's crazy. Same thing happens 2 years later when Orlando comes over and it wins it for the Yankees after he joined them midseason. Like, how do they, like, how does this keep happening? Like, yeah, it just goes to show like this crazy sequence of events, just like everything happened. The timing of everything was like perfect in both these stories. Crazy.
And it's not only that it was perfect, but the fact that, I mean, did either of you two know much about this at all?
No, I mean, I knew Levon Hernandez had defected from Cuba, but I didn't know the story of how it happened and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you would think that this would be a story that's like passed down from sports fan to sports fan because it is so magical, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just like one of those things that, one of the reasons we started doing this podcast to begin with is we just wanted to learn cool stories like this, and like, this is one of those stories. It might be like, we've watched what, like 60 now, this might be like a top 10, like, how did I not know this amazing story about, especially like with the Yankees, like that was a historic team that we know about, and like a dynasty basically, and El Duque was such a huge part of that, and we just didn't even know about it.
This was
know?
The first time that I sort of liked that Yankee team, even though I still didn't. I grew up loathing that group of people. The Bernie Williams, Jorge Posada, Derek Jeter, Mario Rivera. Oh, I still love him, but yeah. So like that, I used to just hate that group, and I've softened since on many, including Derek Jeter, but the El Duque really helped me be a little more friendly to that group. Still, I mean,
for now.
No.
Wow. Look, ESPN 30 for 30 changing fanhood for
Ryan. I would never be a fan of the Yankees. I'd be dead first. I honestly, yeah, I don't have much more. I mean, it's, yeah, it's I really liked it. Any other big things we're missing? Oh, one thing. Okay. So at the end, you know how it's a perfect ending, just to be a little critical. Well, it's not critical of anyone. It's just of how the story went. But so he was told that his family's coming. El Duque was. And they come, and it's his mom and his two daughters and his ex-wife. So they all come over and defect because the people have pulled the string so that they're able to be, you know, able to come over. They call the Pope and all that happened. That's amazing. Okay, what about the ex-wife's family, like her mom? And like, you know, so when you think about it, like she had to make a decision too. She went with her kids, obviously. You know, like she was in the package of, she wasn't going to leave her kids, and you know, they kids weren't going to come unless she would come, I'm sure. But it's just not, and everything's not perfect, right? Like his mom came, but did her sister come? Like, did she left all her other friends, her job? Like, you know, so like that to me, that was like, okay, well, it's perfect. And like, they're going to have a lot of money and their life is going to be a lot better. Like a lot of people are really struggling over there, but still, I mean, it's like, yeah, you'd like the world to be perfect, and it's not, but that was one of the points where like, it was a great thing, but not perfect.
Yeah, there's still flaws in the story. I didn't think about that aspect of it, but I did when they were getting off the airplane. I felt like he didn't hug his ex-wife. I thought his ex-wife came off the plane and just stepped to the side, and then really? He hugged everybody else. That was my observation. I don't know if probably. It was his ex-wife off the plane, but which would make sense.
Because they probably talked on the phone, and she was like, you know, this, you're making me take my kid. You know, who knows if that was a, you know, because that's a yeah. huge decision, right? Massive.
Right.
100%. Yeah, and then they never have visited Cuba since, and I'm guessing, like, none of them have.
Hard to. It's very hard to. Like, I did a story with Tony Oliva the other, this summer, and, you know, they were doing a whole thing where they were trying to get his brother, one of his brothers, over. Amy Klobuchar was trying to help it for when he was inducted to the Hall of Fame. It was super hard. They did it. But, like, he has a whole bunch of other family there that have barely seen him play in Major League Baseball. So it's still, like, it's not as bad as it was, but it's still an issue.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, crazy.
One more thing. When the brothers reunite on camera, I thought that was a really cool moment. But then when what's his name? Levon.
Levon.
Levon. He's giving advice and he says lay off the McDonald's because he had trouble with you know, eating all the fast food and stuff. I thought that was just like it added some comedy to it.
That was a great moment. Smart. And like, yeah, they were talking about how when he came over, like, and he got a huge contract, like his two vices were like sports cars and McDonald's. Like, yeah. That was what he was doing. It was pretty funny. Which is valid. I mean,
I can relate to half of that.
Yeah.
All right. Who wants to rate it first?
If he had access to Culver's, that would have been it.
The Butterburger will get you.
Yeah. Good thing that Butterburgers weren't in Florida at that time, probably.
I don't think they are yet. I don't think Culver's is anywhere but the Midwest, right?
Yeah. Arizona.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, I saw them when we were down there. I was amazed.
Wow, they've grown fast. Or not fast, yeah. But like in the past few years. Because I feel like 2, 3, 4 years ago, they weren't anywhere but the Midwest.
Yeah. I can't remember if my brother said they're in California or not, but I think my brother might have said that they're trying to expand. So they're it was like one Culver's was in a strip mall. So it's not like the classic, but they're like trying to, like he was saying, they're trying to like, you know, test out the market or whatever and see.
I mean, they're pretty much well liked across the board. Oh, so yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they are able to do that.
Man, half of the fast food restaurants around the country are going to go out of business if Culver's expands. No one's going to be able to compete against that greatness.
Yeah, we'll never hear from In-N-Out again if it goes to California.
Right?
That'll be a good Mount Rushmore for us to have sometime if we haven't had that already. Have we already, maybe?
I don't know. I'm struggling to pull up the document right now because I'm logged out and I can't remember the password to that email. So I'll have to, like, a different day.
I still have access. I've never had to log in months. I don't know why, but.
Oh, nice.
Okay, well, I'll. Sorry?
You might have to share it with me.
Yeah, I will. I will do my rating first. I'm giving it 9.1 Narnias. Narnia, wow. Because it was like Narnia where they, the, you know, in Chronicles of Narnia, like the Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe, they canceled Christmas. Like they didn't have Christmas for decades when the witch was there. And then in this, the witch here is Fidel Castro because he didn't allow them to have Christmas until the Pope was like in a visit. He's like, oh yeah, we do Christmas again. And that's the first thing I thought of. Which is also really fucked up. By the way, I didn't realize that would happen. They didn't have Christmas for years when he was ruling or whatever. So yeah, 9.1 because of all the reasons I said. It was like it was an hour and 16, 17 minutes, like the shortest hour and 17 minutes of a documentary in my memory. Like it sped by. They did a super good job of pacing it that way. And there was never a moment where it lulled or anything. So yeah, I really liked it. I compared it to some of my other 8s and 9s and it was like, yep, it's better than this. It really didn't have a lot of negatives to me and it didn't really miss in many ways. So how about you, Sam?
Rudy, you go. Ren, will you share the doc with me?
Yeah,
super quick so I can compare it. I have a number in mind, but I've never done one without comparing it to the others. So
I can figure out how to. Yeah.
So we have done fast food. It was episode 8, way back when.
Okay. I remember that.
It sounded familiar once I said that, but
it could be like fast food burgers or something.
Yeah.
No, it's your deleted email. Only had one fast food
burger ever, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So fast food chicken tenders, I can, special category. Yeah.
That's right.
All right. Rating-wise, I'm very similar to you, Ren. Yeah, loved it. Loved, like, how they set it up. Loved the storylines, everything like that. I went with 9.0, 9 flat.
Nice.
Literally strike zones. And so yeah. Just what we talked about before, because that one game was just so bad. I mean, way outside. It just reminded me of like a Little League game watching that.
And I thought the same zones thing.
That they allow.
Yeah, like the Little League World Series. And there's like these videos on YouTube of the Little League World Series and the umps just like, ringing them up, but it's so bad.
All
right, well, I can't pull up my doc, so I'm a little sad, but I had a number in